From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon. It has been another day of shock and mourning. Egypt's deadliest terror attack ever has killed dozens of people and wounded even more. The attack took place in early morning hours in Sharm el-Sheikh, a resort town on the Red Sea.
We just immediately knew it was a bomb, and the cafe staff were trying to say it's okay, and we knew it was, and people were just starting to run in all directions.
And in London, Londoners have fresh worries about security after an unexpected apology from Scotland Yard. Police admitted the man shot to death yesterday at an underground train station was not connected to the terrorist attacks the police had been investigating. First, we go to Washington Post reporter Anthony Shadid in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. Anthony, can you describe the scene there today and how the bombings took place?
Over about 15 minutes, there were three blasts. One car bomb barreled through an obstacle into the reception of the Ghazala Garden Hotel. It brought the roof down of the reception and laid waste basically to the area around it. The facade was sheared off, and the parking lot in front of the hotel now is just littered with rubble, concrete debris. Wires are dangling from the roof. It's a real mess.
It happened early in the morning, around 1 o'clock, right?
That's right. The explosions were spaced a few minutes apart. The first one hit in a commercial area a few miles away from Na'ama Bay, which is the main resort area. The second one struck at the Ghazala Hotel, and then the third one just minutes later hit in a parking lot, which is near the Movenpick Hotel. Officials believe that the first two bombings were car bombs, possibly by suicide drivers. The third one appears to be explosives that were left in a bag in the parking lot. Each of the explosions devastated the areas around them, shattering glass for miles away.
Did you speak to any survivors, and what was the atmosphere like? Was there a sense of panic?
There was a sense of panic last night. People talked about running into each other as cloud billowed over the scenes. There was a lot of chaos, and I think there was fear, especially in those moments after the blast hit, that more car bombs are going to follow. In fact, some people were reluctant to help out people who were wounded in the streets for that very reason. One person I spoke to said he was looking over his shoulder waiting for the next bomb to hit. When it didn't, finally, after 15 or 20 minutes, then they started trying to help the wounded who, at that point were just littering the streets.
Now, some of the witnesses are reporting that they actually saw one of the cars, possibly with the suicide bombers, driving it before it blew up.
That's right. I spoke to a taxi driver today who was in the street in front of the Ghazala Hotel. He said he saw a brown car that barreled through the obstacle. He said it had plates of Taba, which is a resort further north in the Sinai Peninsula. It hit two guards that were guarding the entrance and then barreled into the reception area before it exploded. Once it exploded, it brought down the roof of the reception area and, like I said, sheared off the facade of the hotel itself.
This is the largest attack ever on Egyptian soil. Did you speak to any Egyptians? What did they have to say about it?
The overriding sentiment you hear right now in Sharm el-Sheikh is fear of what this means for the resort. This is a resort that depends entirely for its livelihood on tourists, and already tourists have been leaving today. I think there's a fear among a lot of Egyptians here that tourists aren't going to come back. And a few people I was talking to today were even talking about packing up and moving to Cairo, that they were just going to write off trying to make a living in Sharm el-Sheikh for the months ahead. And there's also confusion about who's responsible. As is often the case in these kind of instances in the Arab world, you hear allegations that Israel is somehow behind it, or Al-Qaeda, or one person told me Bedouins in the desert. I mean, there's a sense of confusion about who would be responsible, because to a lot of people here, the violence seems so mindless. It basically killed civilians, civilians that people pointed out hadn't done anything wrong.
Anthony Shadid is the Washington Post Middle East correspondent. He spoke to us from Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. Anthony, thank you very much.
My pleasure.